Last time on GNU World Order.
And it's going to be a great episode because I have lots of cool, cool things in store for you. Again, closed source stuff makes everything really, really complicated. You can actually tell it to look somewhere else for its libraries, but you just pass the ld_library_path variable on the command line, and then you launch the application. And then it knows to look in the ld library path wherever you set it, which, so you'd be doing like ld library path equals some location on your hard drive, and then it would know to look there when it's actually trying to run the application. The other way is rpath, and that's something that you do when you are compiling as the programmer. So let's take a look at that because it's really pretty interesting.
And now a demo of GCC and LD.
Two examples. I've got in this directory, I've got some sample C++ code that was written from a really good video tutorial that I found online, and I'll try to remember to put a link into the show notes. But the thing to really pay attention to here is that it includes some FLTK code. That's what this FL stuff is. So FLTK is the Fast Light Toolkit. That's what it stands for, and it's a multi-platform C++ GUI toolkit. When I had FLTK installed, I compiled this, and so if I try to run it now, because I've now uninstalled FLTK, it gives me an error, which is not surprising. The nice thing about running something from a terminal, if you've never done this before, it's a great method of troubleshooting, because when you get an error, it doesn't just fail to launch, it generally gives you some kind of feedback, and in this case it's telling you that there was an error when it was trying to load the shared library, libfltk. I could, you know, verify that in all the different methods that you might on your distribution, but just trust me, it's clearly not installed. So I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that particular executable, and I need to, of course, get the code. Now, I happen to know that I have the download link here, so I'll just copy that, and I'll grab the code from the internet. Okay, so the code now is on the computer, so I'll unarchive it. And now I've got the code right here in this directory, so I'm going to change into it, and I'm going to configure it. Now, what I can do, I reckon, is I'll configure, and then I'll make, so whether the user has FLTK or not, we're going to give it to them with our, you know, what we provide to them. So I just happen to know, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this now. In real life, if we didn't know, we would stumble through this. But I just want to kind of show you the complexity of it, but how not complex it is if you know what you're doing. So remember that the error from the a.out file was that it couldn't find libfltk.so. And you'll notice that I just did a find on the folder that we just built the code in, and I was looking for anything ending in .so, and we couldn't find it. So that would be a problem. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make clean. Now it's as if though we never built it. And I'm going to start over and do a configure with the help flag. And I'm going to kind of look through these options. And it turns out that there are a couple of things that are not turned on by default, most especially this one right here, the shared library option. So I'm going to reconfigure with the shared library option turned on. And this time, we get the shared object files. Because, again, if you'll recall, when I ran the a.out, it was looking specifically for libfltkso.1.1. So we definitely want that, and now we see that we have it. I mean, we've compiled FLTK, but we haven't installed it. And by installed, I mean that GCC, when I compile this code, nobody knows where to find these libraries and headers, for that matter. And in fact, you can see that right now. Right there, right away, we get an error. There's a fatal error that there's no such file as fl/fl.h. And that's an included file in my source code. And the problem is that GCC doesn't know where to find that header file. Well, we can tell it where to look with a -i. So if we say G++ space -I. Now, I'm a little bit paranoid, and I like to do pwd. And then I tell it where to find that header file. And I happen to know that it's in the FL folder, but if we look, you can see that, yes, we've got lots of header files in here. Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because I've already done this a couple of times, but when we do an ls in our FLTK source folder, the two new folders that got generated after the make were lib and fl. So that's, I happened to have known that. Now, if I didn't know that, I could do a find and just tell it -iname space quote star h, and then it would have shown me everything I could ever want ending with an h, and then finally I would have found this folder with all my header files. So we'll do G++ space -I, and then I'm doing in ticks or a $ parentheses if you prefer, pwd, and then I'm pointing it to fltk, and I believe that's all I need to do. I don't think I actually have to show it to the /fl folder. I could be wrong. Let's try it and find out. G++ space -I, pwd /fltk-1110, and then drone cpp. And it looks like it probably found the header file because it didn't error out, but now it's giving me all these other errors. The problem is, of course, that okay, so I've shown it where to find the header files, the included header files, but I still haven't told it where to find the library. So this is the same principle, and that is a -L instead of lowercase, or instead of -I. So -L pwd /fltk-1110. That should point it to the right folder, but it's not going to know where to find anything, I don't think. So we'll point it further to source. Okay, still getting errors. And the reason for this is because we need to tell it, well, a couple of things, but since I'm kind of giving this to you piece by piece, we're going to tell it with a lowercase l, -l, fltk. And that, basically, you can think of that as us telling it to look for libfltk. And now, as you can see, I compile it with the full command, G++ space -I, pwd fltk blah space -L pwd /fltk-1110/source, and then space -l fltk. And there's no space between the lowercase l and the fltk. And then space drome.cpp. That's the source code. So now let's see what happens if I try to execute this a.out. Well, look at that. It still gives me an error. So it's still having problem finding the libfltkso11, even though we pointed it straight to the library and the source, the location of the library. So this seems pretty dismal at this point. You're probably thinking, well, Klaatu is wrong. It really isn't possible. But of course, that's not the case. So what's happening is that even though it's compiling correctly, it just doesn't know where to find, it still doesn't know where those libraries exist. It just doesn't innately know where to look. It still is trying to look on our system. So what we can do to fix that is use the rpath. So that is done with the -L(R), and then single quote, $ curly brace, and then the word origin, close curly brace, and then the path to our library, which is, of course, /fltk-1.1.10/source, close single quote, and then the path, of course, to our source code. Now we should have an a.out, and we do, and now we should be able to run our little demo application, as exciting as it may be, or may not be. So to really sort of drive this point home, I want to show you this command called ldd. So if you do ldd and then the path to some binary file, it shows you exactly where things are linked to. And so here you see that there's a library called linux-vdso.so.1, and that's got a funky looking number after it, which is the actual location of this library. And then everything after that is a little bit more normal. And that is things like lib standard C++. Well, that's going to be on anyone's system. I mean, that's a very low level kind of library that you can pretty much count on that being on a user's system. libm.so.6, again, it's pretty common. libgcc, all of these things, x11, all of these things are going to be, you know, good for quite some time. If you were really, really nervous about stuff, you could package all of these things up with your application, and that way it would run independent basically no matter what. I mean, it would just, as long as there was enough underneath all of the libraries that you package for a system to run, then these libraries would be available for your application to use. The one that I really want to draw your attention to is the one that isn't on anyone's system, and that is, of course, libfltk, which we've included, we've bundled with our application. And that, as you can see in the output of ldd a.out, is pointing to, in this case, my home directory in this subdirectory of code, in a further subdirectory of fl, and then fltk111 source, and then to the actual library that it needs in order to generate the window. So the interesting thing about rpath then is that if I move the entire folder of FL, which is where all of this demo code exists, let's say I move it into my downloads folder, and now I go to my downloads folder into the FL directory, and I run a.out, and as you can see, it still works. And now if I do an ldd again on a.out, look at how it has adjusted the path to the library. Instead of pointing to my home directory code FL, it points to my home directory downloads FL, and then runs it out of there. Now everything else, of course, is still standard, you know, pointing to standard system locations. But the one library that I bundled with my source code has adjusted itself so that it goes, you know, so that it knows exactly where to find that library no matter what. So, I mean, once you understand what's going on, it's kind of almost a letdown. It's not very exciting. It's just like a relative path on a web server. But the difference is that you're doing a relative path for your library. And as you can see, it works really well. And keep in mind, this is without FLTK being installed on my system. I don't have FLTK installed on this computer, and yet I'm running an FLTK application. Through this one a little bit quicker, just because it's really just to kind of demonstrate that it does start to get complex with more libraries. But again, the greatest thing about Linux is that if you have it sort of mapped out once, then you basically have it mapped out forever, and you can just kind of come up with your own commands to make this a very seamless process. And for all I know, the IDEs out there make this even simpler. I just have never really done it that way. So, I mean, I've dealt with the outcome, but I've never actually used an IDE to generate something from nothing and bundled libraries automatically. So, here's application, doesn't work, because it's depending on sfmlgraphics.so.2. I don't know why that's the error that it's giving me. It actually depends on a heck of a lot more than that. But anyway, as you can see, I've already downloaded SFML and SFGUI. And those are the required libraries for this. I've downloaded the source code for those things, and now we're going to unzip them. So SFGUI is what this combo box application leverages to generate the graphical user interface, and SFGUI relies upon SFML. So the first step is to compile SFML. So this is a CMake project. It uses CMake to build itself. So when doing CMake, most people like to create a build directory, and so I've done that and I've changed into it. So let's make directory B, or build, whatever you want to call it, CD into that directory, and your empty directory. And then what I usually do to start is just do the CMake command, which is CMake space dot dot, because you're telling it to run CMake and look for the configuration files, or the configuration file CMake lists dot txt back one directory. And it looks like that was finished. It was checking for some dependencies. I happen to have those already installed, so it's a pretty simple compile. So I'll just make this. And rather than just leaving it at make, I'm going to do a make install, but I'm not going to just do make install. I'm going to do make install space destdir, that's D-E-S-T-D-I-R, equals, and so now if I mylibs, and if we do a list of mylibs, we see that there's the USR folder, inside USR it's local, and then inside of that there's an include and a lib folder, and that seems pretty good. So we've got basically a local install, like very local, like as of this current directory local install of what would have normally been installed on my system if I'd installed SFML. But again, since the end goal here is to ship stuff with the application so that the application works whether or not people have this stuff installed on their system, that's a pretty smart way of doing things. And the nice thing about that, about installing it to a destination directory like that, is that we can now just get rid of SFML, that folder, and we don't have to ship that with our source, you know, with our application rather. I just got rid of the old binary that doesn't run on this system. Okay, so now we've compiled and installed locally SFML, so we should be able to now tackle SFGUI. This is going to be a little bit harder, but we'll start out the same way. We'll make a build directory, change into the build directory, and do into CMake dot dot. But right away we get some errors. These CMake errors, I find, generally it's easier to just solve those with the GUI CMake. So CMake, when you install it, it comes with a GUI. And you can launch that, and if you don't know what you're doing, it seems a little bit baffling, but I'm going to show you a little bit about it so you can maybe possibly use it in your own work. So the first thing to do is to point it to the source code. And so I'll click the Browse Source button, and I'll show it, I'll point it to my code folder, to SF, to SF GUI. That's the code. And then we need to show it to the build directory. So I'll browse builds, I'll go to code again, I'll go to SF, I'll go into SF GUI, and I'll point it to my build directory that I made myself, which is just B, but you could call it build or whatever. And so that loads any of the variables that CMake wants that it's not sure about yet. And it shows you each and every one. So that's kind of nice right there. You know what you're looking for, at least. So the first thing really that I see that is actually a problem is, well, let's say what's not a problem here, even though it's marked red. The CMake build type, I don't really need to tell it. CMake install prefix is /usr/local. That's fine. Build docs is not activated. That's fine. We don't need the docs for this. Examples, those are handy, so we'll leave that on. Build shared files, shared libs. Yes, we definitely want that. And then SF GUI include font. It looks like it's defaulting to Deja Vu Sans, and yes, I have that, so that's not a problem. So really, the only problem here is the SFML dir can't be found. And it looks like it doesn't even know where to look for this thing. What we can do is click on the ellipsis button, and we can try to point it to where those items might be located. And this is kind of where it gets kind of confusing, because you really don't know what it's looking for necessarily, or why it's looking for it. So we'll just have to kind of fake our way through this. So the first guess, I guess, would be the include directory of SF GUI, right? Until you realize that it's not looking for anything in SF GUI. So that would mean that the source code that we just threw away probably should not have been thrown away. So we need to rescue our source code directory, and I had already moved it to the trash. So I've rescued my SFML directory, and let's go poke around and see if there's anything useful there for us. So here's SFML 2-2, and there's a CMake folder in there, and then there's a modules folder in there. So we're going to take a wild guess and assume that that's where the SFML directory is. I'm going to hit the configure button, and no, we got that wrong. It's not happy. But the good thing about that is that when you get something wrong, it gives you a bunch of really helpful error messages. So in this case, it's telling us that it's specifically looking for a file called find SFML, and it's looking for that in the variable called CMake underscore module underscore path. Now, if we can't provide it that information, it's telling us, since it didn't find that file, we should point it to sfml config.cmake or sfml-config.cmake. And then we can add the installation prefix of sfml to CMake prefix path. Or we can set SFML dir to a directory containing one of the above files. So in other words, what we're looking for here is our files called sfmlconfig.cmake or sfml-config.cmake. Or we need to point it to find sfml.cmake as the CMake modules path. So you can basically tackle it from a number of different angles. You can do a find file for these files that are missing, or you can just create a variable in CMake called CMake module path and tell it you're going to give it a path, and then in theory we might be able to get this one right. And we got it right. So we set the CMake module path to the SFML CMake modules directory, and that disappeared. Now, unfortunately, it also gave us new problems, but that's okay, because it's at least that much closer to actually being correct. So one of the errors is the glue include path, which is set by default to user include. Well, that I happen to know is correct. I'm fine with that. So the other issue that it's finding is sfml underscore include underscore dir, and that's not found either. Now, the sfml include directory, of course, isn't something that's going to be in the source code. It's going to be in the compiled code. And that, of course, is mylibs user local include. Let's try it there. And then hit configure again. And it looks like that got solved. But there's still a couple of errors in red here at the bottom. And what it's telling us here is that it doesn't know how to find SFML graphics library, SFML window library, SFML system library. But that's okay, we can fix that too. It does tell us here in the error message that there's a CMake error in the file find sfml.cmake, and it cannot find the missing variables, this graphics library, the Windows library, window library, and the system library. So, and that originates from line 26 or so, which is the find package command. So we're going to actually just look at this file, because I happen to know what's going on here. I didn't always know, but I packaged SFGUI for Slackware, and so I kind of figured it out that way. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up Emacs directly to that file, find sfml.cmake. We're going to take a look at it, and it's a really long, sort of complex file with lots of CMake commands that may or may not make any sense. The thing that I noticed when I was doing all of this is that it has a set list of paths for headers and libraries. So in other words, it's not going to search your whole system. It's looking in a very specific set place. And they're really good places. They're sensible places. But they don't include the place that we actually have our stuff. So what I'm going to do is add the actual path that I happen to know that this place is located. And that, of course, is in my home directory, /code/sf/mylibs/usr/local. And that should be enough to get it into the right neighborhood. And I'll make sure that I'm still closing the parentheses. And I'm going to get rid of the stuff that I happen to know is completely incorrect, because it's obviously not working, so why even bother? So I'll save that and close it. Go back into CMake and try to configure again. Now this time, you notice it found SFML in my correct install location. Now for the record, I could have done this a little bit more elegantly by setting different variables. I didn't, so I just went in there and did it sort of, I brute forced it. And really I'm only doing it that way because that's the way, as I was building the package for Slackware, that I kind of figured out the problem. But yeah, so that's correct now. It says the configuration is done. So now I can generate, with this generate button, a set of make files. and generating's done. So I think we're good to actually make this library now. And then, of course, remember, we're going to do a make install, but we're going to point it with destdir equals to my home folder into sf into my libs, and that'll be plenty. It'll pick up the rest, like the user, local, and all that other stuff. So we'll make install destdir to my libs, and now it's installed. We can verify that by going back to that directory and looking in my libs and looking in, for instance, the user local include, and sure enough, now we've got both sfml and sfgui. Okay, so that was just managing the libraries. So now I really can trash sfgui, I think, and I can trash sfml, and I can trash sfgui again. Okay. There's my libraries, my libs, and here's my source code, combobox.cpp, which is just a demo thing that I pulled out of the sfgui thing, I think. So in theory, of course, we should be able to do our G++ command. Now, we know from last time that we need to tell this thing where to find the libraries. So we'll say it's in backtick, pwd backtick, and of course it's in mylibs, and user local include should be enough for it to find everything that it needs, I think. I could be wrong. And of course we can kind of test it. Let's see what kind of errors we get. Those didn't look like header errors to me. Wow, that's a lot of errors, actually. I don't know if I want to find out. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it doesn't look like those are header errors to me. So I think that might have done it. Okay, so that might be okay. We'll find out. And then, of course, we need to show it where the libraries are, too. So that's dash capital L, and then again, backtick, backtick, pwd inside, slash, and then it's mylibs user local lib. And of course we get more errors again because we're not really done, of course. So the full command here, as you can probably guess, would incorporate some dash lowercase l's. So that would be sfml dash graphics, and then another lowercase l, sfml dash, I think I need to do a window or windows. And you can find this out, of course, by just looking at your mylibs, at your local libs, and seeing what you need to include. So we're going to need to include an sfgui, sfml audio, graphics, network, all that stuff. So let's construct that. Okay, so we're pointing it to mylibs user local lib for the library, the capital L library, and then for the individual libraries, we're going to tell it dash L sfml window, dash lowercase l sfml system. I don't think it actually needs all of these, because this is a really, really simple little application, but I'm just doing it because it's faster this way. Now that's getting close, but of course we both know that that's not done, and that we also need to do our rpath. So that's dash capital W lowercase l comma dash capital R comma no space single quote, and inside of the single quotes we're going to do a dollar sign curly brace origin, close the curly brace, and then the path to all of our good stuff, which is slash mylibs slash usr slash local slash lib. And actually, I think before we pull the trigger on this, if I'm remembering correctly, I have to give another include path for sfgui specifically. This is just me kind of remembering my errors from before. I think that's correct. And I'm also not sure, but I think I have to tell it to use G++ or C++ 11-standard equals GNU plus 0x. And there we go. That solves all the problems. So now if we do an LDD on a.out, wow, lots more libraries as you can see. It links to Linux itself, obviously. It links to libfml window, system network graphics audio. That's just because we told it to, sfgui, and then a bunch of other stuff that you know, I mean, that we didn't tell it. So X11, XR&R, UDEV, GL, Glue, libice, FreeType, libopenal. So this is a, even though this is just a really simple, I mean, that it's a little bit heftier than the FLTK demo that I did. And it seems like a lot of work on the one hand. And then on the other hand, it's just really not that much work. You can bundle everything into just one simple directory, build your executable in relation to that with this dash capital WL comma dash R comma origin flag, this RPath flag, and actually have it just be basically a standalone application. It works brilliantly. Why aren't people doing it? I don't know. But it does work. This is proof. Hope you've learned something. It was certainly fun. Okay, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, as always. My name is Klaatu. You can find me online at GNUWorldOrder.info or at SlackerMedia.info. You can find me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. That's member.fsf, as in Free Software Foundation.org. And you can also find me on linuxquestions.org as not Klaatu. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
Seem to be just another flight to London, in all respects except that its passenger list was twice as large as on ordinary trips.